السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الذي لا إله سواه، الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد، نور السماوات والأرض، لا نحصي ثناء عليه، هو كما أثنى على نفسه، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه الصادق الأمين والرسول المبين المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحابته الصالحين الميامين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. We continue in our reflections on some of the beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just before we had the short recess, I had begun sharing with you the ayah in Surah An-Nur, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Nur. Allahu Nuru as-samawati wal-ard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Nur of the samawat, of heavens and earth. And we addressed that also partly when we spoke of the physical Nur as the source of physical life. And Allah is the source of that Nur as well, of all Nur. And we said also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of the spiritual Nur that is at the origin of life itself and of spiritual life in particular. If there is no Ruh, there is no life as we know it of the human being in particular, let's say. And then if there is no Nur, the spiritual Nur, the Wahi, then there is no life in the heart of the human being, in the life of a nation. And thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, beginning to tell us about the spiritual Nur in addition to the physical Nur, مثل نوره كمشكات فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري. That the example of his Nur, مثل نوره, or the parable of his Nur that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is setting for us here is this. And that means the parable of his Nur in the heart of the believer. مثل نوره أي مثل نوره في قلب المؤمن. مثل نوره في قلب المؤمن. The parable of the Nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside the heart of the believer. مثل نوره inside the heart of the believer. The example of his Nur inside the heart of the believer is like, and imagine this, you have a niche. Inside that niche there is a lamp. Inside that lamp there is light. And that lamp, the glass of that lamp, is made of such a substance that the glass itself almost shines, is almost light itself. Imagine this lamp, you know, made of glass, and the glass is so clean, so pure, so beautiful from such a special material of glass, that the glass itself almost shines. الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري. That the زجاجة itself as though it were a shining star. What is that? The niche is your chest and mine. The chest, inshallah, of the believer. Inside that chest there is a lamp. a glass lamp. That is the heart. Inside that heart, there is light. But the heart of some mu'minun, of such a mu'min, is itself, subhanAllah, by fitrah, is a light that is so, by tazkiyah, by iman, that light, that qalb itself, the qalb itself, is as though it is light. So transparent, so safi, so clean, so pure, that the qalb itself almost shines, is nur itself. And it doesn't need more nur to see, or much more nur to see. The qalb itself, even if it does not have light inside of it, has enough light to see. الزُّجَاجَةُ كَأَنَّهَا كَوْكَبٌ دُرِّي. And yet, when there is inside of that heart the other nur, the other light inside of it of wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addition to the illumination, the natural illumination of such heart, you have illumination upon illumination, light upon light. So that light, in the sense, in the case of the physical example, there is this lamp inside of which there is this there is the oil inside of it, and then the wick, the fatila, is the wick. The wick, all right. Looking for another word. Wick. All right. Inside, subhanAllah, inside of that zujaja, inside of that lamp, there is this wick. That the source of course, the fuel for it is an oil, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُوْقَدُ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ, the oil of that lamp comes from a tree, very moderate and very balanced. لَا شَرْقِيَةٍ وَلَا غَرْبِيَةٍ, it's neither eastward nor westward. لَا شَرْقِيَةٍ وَلَا غَرْبِيَةٍ. In other words, it receives light in a very balanced and moderate way, such that it produces an oil that is very balanced and very moderate. And that is the source of its light. In the qalb of a mu'min, that qalb that by itself almost shines, and then receives light inside of it from the wahi of Allah through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through the wahi to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through al-hanafiyya to samha, al-wasatiyya, and the tree of wahi, and the tree of wahi is the most moderate tree, most balanced tree. La sharqiyya ولا غربية, not excessive, not extreme, in to the right or to the left, not lax and not hard. لا شرقية ولا غربية, there is nothing as balanced and as moderate as the shajara of the wahi, the tree of the wahi. And that is the source of that light inside of the qalb of a mu'min by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ, from the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَثَلُ نُورِهِ كَمِشْكَاتٍ, مَثَلُ نُورِهِ فِي قَلْبِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, is this. And thus, نُورٌ عَلَى نُورٌ. And then you have a resonance. The heart itself almost shining and nur by itself, and the light of the wahi, and then you have this resonance inside of the qalb of a mu'min, and you have this celestial sphere, this universe inside of the human being. His or her qalb, the qalb of a mu'min, is this universe, this celestial sphere, this firmament. Now when there is that light and there is that resonance of that light upon light, nothing evil approaches. When shayateen or shaytan wants to approach that qalb, what happens? The light that is inside of that qalb, and again it's not physical light, is like fire for a physical object in a physical firmament. See? Protected. The light upon light that it produces, if shaitan wants to come in, it burns. Nurun ala nur, yahdi Allahu li nurihi man yasha. And Allah says, wa yadribu Allahu al-amthala lin-nas. And Allah sets parables for man. Wa yadribu Allahu al-amthala lin-nas. This is intended for us to ponder about, to reflect on. This is a parable for us to learn. Wallahu bi kulli shay'in alim. And Allah has ilm, has knowledge of everything. Of everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is nur and accepts only that which is nur. Allah is tayyib and accepts only that which is tayyib. Pure and accepts only that which is pure. Our a'mal, before that, who are allowed to ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regularly? Al-Mala'ika, the angels. And the angels are of nur. Not nur, not this nur. The angels are of nur. And Allah is nur. There's got to be matching of some type. And it is the malaika, the angels, that are allowed and permitted to be in His presence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consequently, when we die, what happens? When we die and the ruh is elevated, what happens? You remember that famous, powerful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about what happens from the moment of dying to death to after death and so on. What happens to the ruh as it ascends? What happens? Some ruh is permitted to ascend and some ruh is rejected. Which ruh is permitted to ascend? The ruh of a mu'min, the ruh with nur, the ruh with full nur. Because only nur gets to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while the ruh of the kafir, of the mushrik, would not be permitted to rise because it is earthly, it lived pulled by the gravitation of the hawa and the shahwa, and the pull, it was pulled back, and therefore that's what it wanted. It can't rise. It's too heavy. It's too dense. It has no nur. All nur was extinguished and rejected and refused. It is not light to rise. And therefore it is rejected. It is not allowed to rise. Al-a'mal of the deeds of the human being. Which one is allowed to rise? إِلَيْهِ يَصْعَدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only the amal as-salih that rises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the amal as-salih has nur in it. Rasulullah teaches us that some salah has nur and some salah has no nur. Some of us who perform salah, their salah becomes nur and it rises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some salah has no nur and is not allowed to rise. The salah in which the qalb is present, the salah in which that is done properly with all the arkan and the shurut and the presence of the qalb, that salah rises to Allah, it has nur, and nur is allowed to rise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we die and we enter Jannah, insha'Allah ta'ala, the believers who enter Jannah, then they are transformed into creatures who are nur, to be in the presence of the nur subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nurun ala nur, yahdi Allahu li nurihi man yasha'u wa adribu Allahu al-amthala lin-nas wallahu bikulli shay'in alim. I wanted this as an introduction to Asma'ullah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa sifatuh, because what is this telling us? That the Asma of Allah and His Sifat, of course we can speak to them about them, I'm sorry, at different levels for different types of people. The most basic level, the intellectual level, which is sophisticated enough, etc. But there is a deepest level at which or for which the seekers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aspire, knowing, acknowledging where we are. And that is, this Asma and Sifat would not be known fully and tasted fully and experienced unless what? There are at least two nurs in the as a resonance inside the qalb of a mu'min. Nur al-fitra wa nur al-wahi. Nur al-fitra wa nur al-wahi. They produce a different nur, a different light by which we begin to see with our qulub the nur of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means, if I do not live my life through ilm and tazkiyah, if I do not obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I do not obey His external ahkam in ibadat and in mu'amalat and so on, and the grades and the levels and the struggle that does take place, then there will never be enough, there will never be enough resonance. You know that you can have a signal, you know, sometimes signals are messed up with what we call noise, right? Unwanted signals. What do they do to the frequency? They mess it up. Correct? So if you take that frequency messed up, and there is another frequency with which you want to have resonance, what happens? You're not going to have full resonance. So you can't see certain things you would otherwise be able to see. True or false? SubhanAllah. وَأَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ. These are parables and examples that Allah set for humans, for mankind, for people. So if I do not develop the light inside of my qalb through ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His external ahkam, the wahi, actualizing the wahi in my life, and struggling at that, I can only talk about this. And even talking about it is a rahmah sometimes, to aspire to that. And yes, there are those ibad, like others, have objectives to be billionaire and work hard at it, and that's all their lives. There are people whose objectives is to have that resonance, and they work hard at it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Now I come to Alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Alim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Alim. All knowing. And again, it helps to know that in the Arabic language there are many ways by which we can, with shades of nuances and of differences, by which we can describe the actor, the doer of something. So a person who knows is a'alim. But Allah is Alim. And in the Arabic language, the difference between the structure of Alim and Alim, like the structure between Fa'il and Fa'il, is that when we use Alim, the person knows, make mistakes sometimes, doesn't know some other times. Alim, not necessarily every single moment and time and everything in Alim. But he never misses, or she never misses on Ilm. But Alim, when we say Alim, then Ilm becomes, has become an inseparable constant quality or characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the difference. Alim is صِغَةٌ مِنْ صِيَغِ الْمُبَالَغَ أَيْضًا, as we say in the Arabic, you know, in the Arabic language. That's number one. We have also established that every sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nothing to do, is unlike the sifat of His creature subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many human beings have knowledge, have ilm or ulama. Not only what we know is different from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And we have many examples of degrees of knowledge, correct? A person who has, let's say, a doctorate in physics knows about, let's say, the law of W equal MG, basic law, in a way much more profound than a beginning student in high school who is beginning to study physics, right? And so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what we know, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows is incomparable. Not only that, but how Allah knows. Is there a how with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Just, it's language. As human beings, we don't know than we know. Correct? Correct? You don't know, then you know. There's no such a thing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no such a thing as He didn't know, then He knew. Number two, when we know something in this way, and then we know it perhaps the next day better than yesterday. There is an evolution in our knowledge. But alim for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no such a thing. There is no change in his ilm, in his knowledge. There is no evolution in his knowledge. He knows things as, even when things change, his knowledge of them has never changed. SubhanAllah. And that's very important to keep in mind. In addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself in the Qur'an about His knowledge. There are many things that can be said, subhanAllah, but this is one of the most powerful ayat in my mind and in my heart pertaining to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I like to compare it to, you know, the bombastic human being. You know, says we have gone where no man has ever gone before, and we know what. And then when they want to express how much they know human beings, they say to you, "We have, look at this huge thing we created, look at this big thing we created, look at this very sophisticated, complex, huge machine we created, look at this." They want to show how powerful they are in knowledge of architecture. The taller the building, the wider the building, the more indicative it is of how much we know. Correct? Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to tell us what He knows, so that we should know Him. He says in Surah Al-An'am, وعنده مفاتح الغيب. Look at this. وعنده مفاتح الغيب. With him are the keys to the unseen. With him are the keys to the unseen. There are some reflections about this. I don't know whether I should share them with you. Do you have time? Because if we continue like this, probably won't cover more than two or three of them. And of course, that doesn't mean, Allah forgive me, that doesn't mean we have done justice to any one of them. SubhanAllah, any one name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one would spend certainly, wallahi al-azim, one begins to feel that, one's lifetime. One's lifetime to gain more and more insight of one attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وعنده مفاتح الغيب. With him are the keys of the unseen. لا يعلمها إلا هو. None has knowledge of it except he. وعنده مفاتح الغيب. لا يعلمها إلا هو. And that which is unseen is uncountable. Now a reflection on that is in the realm of physics, in the realm of cosmology. You know the concept of hyperspace? Has anyone heard about that? The concept of other universes? Other universes beyond us, that's hyperspace, basically. And it is not anymore fiction or legends, it's science. It's real science and it's real research and mathematics and so on. And computers are working day and night, you know, to help with the answers to the question of what is beyond our universe. But first, the question of beyond our universe, can you imagine that? And that is called science nowadays. Alhamdulillah. Can you imagine what is beyond our universe? Because you think you can, you can't. Because all what we know, all what we can experience by sight, in time and in space, is our universe. Because we only have a vision of space and a concept of time. So you're saying, is there something beyond time and space? Where is beyond space? But where is space? So there's no language anymore to describe it. SubhanAllah. Or to say the question, to pose the question, when the universe was not, when the universe was not. When the universe was not, when was it not? But there was no time. What is when? And we know in science the equation leads us to exactly the concept of time equal t equals zero. There was no time and no space. So the question of beyond this universe is itself, subhanAllah, almost metaphysical. And yet it is scientific research. And to make the story short, research shows, at least mathematically, in the realm of mathematical physics, that there are other universes. There are other universes of other dimensions. And when we say other dimensions, we can only experience basically our own dimension, which is how much dimensions? Three or four, depending if you add time or not. Three dimensions of space and one of time, so we are a four-dimensional universe. And that's all we can experience. Four dimensions. Or three in space and one in time. These, so universes, equations show, exist between dimensions 2 to 11 or 10 in one opinion. Imagine a universe where there are, let's take space, where there are five dimensions. What is five dimensions? We have no knowledge of what it is. That's ghaib. That's unseen. It's beyond us. You cannot begin to imagine what is, a five-dimensional universe, let alone an 11th-dimensional universe or nine or so. No knowledge whatsoever. To give you an example of that, to bring the issue clearer to our minds, going from two dimensions to three dimensions, you can have an idea about that. Two dimensions is what? A flat universe. There is no depth at all, no up, no bottom. It's no three dimensions, just two, just width and length. It's no height or depth. And imagine creatures living in two dimensions. What should they be like? Of course, two-dimensional creatures, flat creatures. They have to be. Because the universe itself is flat, so they are flat creatures. And I like to extend it to say with flat brains and flat hearts, and you are sick, you go to a flat hospital, and you commit a crime, they take you to a flat jail, and jail inside of that jail, it's just, how can they jail you actually in two dimensions? It's just actually doing a circle around you, and that's it, you're jailed as a two-dimensional creature. That's it, you're jailed. Subhanallah. Now imagine this creature in a two-dimensional jail, and there are guards around, fortress and all of that, and guards. It's very dangerous criminal, threat against the state, and he's jailed, or she's jailed, or it is jailed, whatever he or she is in that universe. And then, subhanAllah, a third dimensional creature, comes, sees this two dimensional universe, and picks the, comes from top, into the prison, into the jail, and when it is on top, the guards don't see anything, right? Because there is nothing of height and depth. It doesn't exist. The only universe they experience is a flat one. There's nothing else. Their universe is called the flat universe. Their notion of an up and down is like magic. It's sorcery. It's unreal. If a person says there is such a thing like that, they would put him in a flat hospital. So imagine this three-dimensional creature, subhanAllah, forgive me to sound funny, but isn't it interesting? You will see how much we should laugh at ourselves later. And look at this, and then this three-dimensional creature comes from up, and then the guards are there, don't see anything, and then suddenly they see what? It's gone, because you lift them up. And the criminal was there, and it's gone. Guards start screaming. The chief come. He says, I swear, it just disappeared. They would think he was crazy. They take that jailed person, this three-dimensional creature, and they have a voyage in three dimensions. And they have a voyage in three dimensions. Our universe. Now that is a flat creature, with a flat brain, with a flat everything. And what he or it or she or perceives is only two-dimensional. So when he is in a third, in a three-dimensional universe, what will he be seeing if he brought that creature to this class? What will he be seeing? Just what? A cross-section of all worlds. Just two-dimensional cross-section of all of these things. And as that person who took that voyage with him from three dimensions, as he's bringing him down, let's say, to this class, when he starts coming down here and he sees cross-section of that, and he sees things changing colors and changing shapes because he sees only cross-sections of all of us here. He sees just the two-dimensional cross-section of all your chimars and all of that, and then he changes spontaneously as he's being lowered. Can you see that? Magic. He never has an experience of three dimensions of this room as we experience it. Never. Now that's what that can help us understand this thing. Now take this person, take us, take rather the human beings, and take them in a voyage in five dimensions. What will we be experiencing in five dimensions? A three-dimensional cross-section of anything that is there. Just that. I like to remember an ayah in the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَظَلُّوا فِيهِ يَعْرُجُونَ لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا بَلْ نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ مَسْحُورُونَ. عجيب. That's the way I link it. Ayah in the Quran that says, and if we were to open, and I'm coming to that, I'm taking time, عِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, remember? And if we were to open a gate for them into the sama, into space-time, فَظَلُّوا فِيهِ يَعْرُجُونَ, and they continue therein in voyage, in space-time, الْعُرُوج, starting to go into other things now. Anyways, let's say ascending, and because the word, the choice of the word uruj is very interesting, subhanAllah. Because we know, let me say it, because in space-time, as we know, it is curved, isn't it? In physics, we know that space-time is curved. You know that, right? Basic relativity. Space-time is curved. Space-time is curved. In other words, when we travel, when any object travels in space-time, it always travels in curved trajectory. No straight trajectory. There's no such a thing as straight in space-time. Like when you travel on the face of Earth. You're never traveling on a straight line. You just think so. Because why? Earth is curved. This is a sphere. You're going in circles. You're going in curved space. Space-time itself is curved. How is that? That's a different discourse. We can only know it mathematically and through other things. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about voyaging or traveling in space-time, he uses all the time when that happens, he uses ya'rujun and ya'raj and uruj and so on. And uruj in the Arabic language has the meaning of curvature. We say arrij ali. I want to go from A to B, and there is point C. So I go through. Instead of going to C directly, I go through B and then turn to C. So arrajt. So there is a notion of curving path. Anyways, isn't it interesting? Subhanallah. So he says, Subhanahu wa Taala, وَلَوْ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَظَلُّوا فِيهِ يَعْرُجُونَ. And if then they went and traveled in this way, لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا, they would say, our eyesights were ensorcelled. سُكِّرَتْ, or intoxicated. بَلْ نَحْنُ إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا بَلْ نَحْنُ مَسْحُورُونَ. نَيْ وَبِئَ بَلْ نَحْنُ ولو فتحنا عليهم بابا من السماء فظلوا فيه يعرجون لقالوا إنما سكرت أبصارنا بل نحن قوم مسحورون. Nay, we are people ensorcelled. Did you connect? And when a three-dimensional creature goes to a fifth-dimensional universe, one scholar writing about hyperspace, a pure scientist has no knowledge of these things. That's exactly what he used. Say, then the person would go mad, would think he's, you know, he's crazy. You know? Subhanallah. Now, this other universes, scientists speak about having access to them, having the keys to them. How would they envisage a voyage into hyperspace, into beyond the universe? It is still hypothetical. Still hypothetical and theoretical in the physics. This is not science fiction. This is science. In accordance to the writings about that there are energies computed. We can compute the energies needed to make a dent, to open a gate, and they call it a gate, they call it a wormhole also, into another universe. And the energies that are required to open a dent, to make a dent, are beyond imagination. In other words, if we collected all economic resources of the world, all of them together, natural resources and the resources of all nations together, to build a machine that would produce an energy close to that, and would be unable to. And that energy will be so concentrated on the spot that it will open, you know, a gate into another dimension. The dimension of that's al-ghayb. And it's interesting, Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. So this is a reflection. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. With him are the keys to the unseen. Only he has knowledge of that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. And مَفَاتِح is again in plural. What type of mafatih, how many ways there are and means there are to enter other worlds of the unseen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. I shared with you this as a reflection because science speaks of opening the gates into an unseen universe, an unseen world. And that ilm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. But sometimes keys to other universes, spiritual universes and so on, that perhaps, I don't know, perhaps if humanity lives and continues in this material research, and I don't know what will happen and what access they will have and what Allah will allow. But sometimes access to some wonderful world of the unseen takes energies like that, but there are some that have access to that world with different type of energies that science now does not study. The energy of the resonance we were talking about. Truly, some ibad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by that energy, by that illumination, by that light, by that resonance of their qulub, go with their qulub where no man has ever gone before them, except the anbiya and some salihun. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. And then وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. We're saying, look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses his sifa of ilm, his sifa of knowledge. Look in what way. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And he has knowledge and he knows ma fil bar, that which is on land and that which is in the seas and in the oceans. And the word ma in the Arabic language bima'na alladhi is mawsool, means it is lafzun aam. We didn't have time to talk about that in usul al-fiqh session. It is lafzun aam, that means everything under that set, which is ma alladhi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose that to mean anything and everything you can that there is and you can think about on land and in the sea, He knows it. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Now look at the rest, subhanAllah. Incapacitating to try to think about this. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. سبحان الله. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Whatever of a leaf or whatever leaf falls, He knows it. This is how He expresses His ilm. Human beings talk like that? Subhanallah. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. You reflect on this ayah and you take your time now or in retreat or alone, and you must have goosebumps. At least. And if you continue to go on with your mind to try to think about it, I tried once, I regretted it, you would go mad of tiredness. Subhanallah. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. How many leaves there are in the world? And I like to ponder about that in our retreats, especially in autumn, in the fall season, in the Adirondack Mountains. And you go just in one, you know, 100 square feet of forest, and the leaves that have fallen already, that had fallen already, and the leaves that fall in front of you, and each one how it falls and when it falls and the way it falls in different ways, so beautiful. And then you start thinking, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. And how many trees there are in the forest I happen to be in. Nay, in North America, in the world. And try to think about every leaf as it falls, and He knows, and how He knows. That is beyond description, except for some who have had that resonance of His Asma and Sifat of Alim, and some of them, now beyond description, have some knowledge of how. Beyond description. And they become after that dumb. They can't express it, and they're not allowed to. They're not allowed to. And Allah would not grant that to just anyone. And not to even to a very, very righteous person, but to a muqarrab, to a Nabi. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Look, not that only. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. And there is not a seed in the midst of the darknesses of earth. Seed. A grain, a seed. How many seeds there are? Seeds that you can't see even. Every seed. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. Imagine that. Take time to think about that. That's a dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a reflection. That's a dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your mind and consequently with your qalb. that sometimes produces of subhanAllah of tawbah, and produces of knowledge, and produces of energy, that which other types of dhikr does not. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ. Not just that. And look how Allah expresses His ilm. وَلَا رَطْبٍ. And there is nothing that is moist. Moist. And nothing that is dry that is outside of His knowledge. Not only He says that is outside of His knowledge, إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ is in very explicit and clear and manifest record. La ilaha illallah. Moist. Can you think of things moist? Moisture in you. You're moist. You're mostly water. And your tears are moist. There's nothing moist that He doesn't. Not that He doesn't know. That is not already in a clear, not just record, manifest and clear record. La ilaha illallah. And nothing dry. Dry. From the infinitesimal, the invisible, to the galactic. La ilaha wala habbatin fi dhulumati al-ard. Wala ratbin. Wala yabisin. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. That's his ilm. How he expresses it in this beautiful, powerful, heart-melting and mind-boggling ayah. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We take our short recess and we resume inshallah.